So what is the meaning of chamushim? Chamushim eru bnei yisrael v'yisraim. Tal Yonason says cham shatafin. Everyone are leaving with five children. And that, as we said, doesn't make a lot of sense. And Tal Yerushalmi says that mizaynim beuvda tava. What is chamushim? That they are equipped with ma'asim tovim. They have a lot of ma'asim tovim. And that also raises the question because they are full of mitzvot. We all know the famous drasha ve'at erom ve'eria. That bnei said when they are leaving Egypt, it is as if they are naked, that they have nothing. And the Chazal Darshan, Erom in the mitzvot, they have no mitzvot whatsoever. They were in Mamtet Shari Tuma, they only had two mitzvot of Bris and Kuban Pesach, and that's it. Because of that, they managed to leave. Now we're saying that the Mizainin Be, Uvda Tava, that they're full of mitzvot, how could this thing be possible? So the Be'er Yosef, a Darshan from Yerushalayim, many years ago, something like 150 years ago. So he says, I can answer these two questions with the third explanation, what is v'chamushim? Rashi says that this is a famous Rashi, what is v'chamushim alu bnei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim? Davar acher, chamushim, echad mechamisha yatzu. That only a fifth of Am Yisrael actually left Egypt. Only a fifth. Why? And four out of five of Israel, of the Jews in Israel, died during Makat Choshech. Because that was the purpose of Makat Choshech, to wipe out all those who weren't worthy to leave Egypt. So he says, in that case, if only a fifth of Am Yisrael is leaving Egypt, so that means that that you have one family which is alive. And against one family which is alive, you have four families that the parents died. So you always have four sets of children, four sets of families that are orphans, that their parents died. Because only a fifth left. So four fifths of the children of Am Yisrael are now orphans. They have now lost their parents. So he said, it must be that each family unit that was alive adopted four family units, because they lost their parents. So each family unit had their own biological family unit, and an extra four family units. That's the explanation of Kol Chadim Cham Shatafin. That's the explanation of the Targum Yonason saying that each family had five children. Because what does it mean, five children? They had five sets of children, because they had their own family and adopted four sets of children from different families. And once they adopted all these children, and they did this tremendous chesed of adopting those children, so in that case, they are mizayin b'maisim tovim, that they're full of mitzvot. So this is the connection of adoption to this week's parsha, that since only a fifth of Am Yisrael left Egypt, so they adopted four-fifths of the children of Yisrael. They had to adopt four family units. Every family had five family units, and that's their great mitzvah. So this is a connection of adoption to this week's parsha. We see also already in the Torah another case of adoption that Chazal have to tell us about in Source 5, in Parashat Pinchas, when the Torah is counting Am Yisrael once again, and is telling about all those who are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. So we learn about Bnei Asher, the sons of Asher, Mishpachotam, Leimna, Mishpachat Haimna, Yishvah, Mishpachat Yishvi, Bnei Mishpachat Bri, Bnei Briah, Chever, Chavri, Mikael, Vishem Bat Asher, Serach. That in the beginning we learn about all the men in the family of Asher, Yimna, Briah, Chever, Malkiel, all those, and suddenly they mention also the daughter of Asher, Shem Bat Asher, Serach. So all the commentators don't understand, why are you suddenly counting the woman? And until now you didn't mention a single woman in the count of Israel. Suddenly now you mention the daughter of Asher, Serach. So the Ramban says that also Rashi asked that question. Since she was miraculously alive, Serach Bat Asher, she's already alive from the time of Yaakov Avinu going to Egypt. So she told Yaakov Avinu that Yosef was alive all these years, as the Midrash says. So she was alive so long from the time of Yaakov Avinu until the time of entering Israel. That's something like 250 years. So she's still alive. So the Torah said this is a great miracle. We have to mention that she's alive. That's Rashi. But Unkelus, he explained, why are we now mentioning Shem Bat Asher Sarach? Unkelus Tirgem, Veshum Bat Itat Asher Serach. Serach is not the daughter of Asher, she's the daughter of the wife of Asher. Asher had a wife, and her daughter, when she got married with Asher, so this was her second marriage, so her daughter was Serach. Nitkaveh bezeh lomar. In source 6, ki hayta bat yoreshet, ki banim zecharim hayula, aval hayta bat ishto yoreshet nachala. ולכך הזכיר הכתוב וכאן, כאשר הזכיר בן סופחד, ויכנס בכלל לאלה תחלק הארץ. ואילו הייתה בת אשר עצמו, לא הייתה יורשת, כי בנים זכרים היו לה. The Torah is now telling us about those who are going to inherit Eretz Israel. Those who are going to get a nachla in Eretz Israel. So, if they'll say that she's the daughter of Asher, she's not getting any nachala. Because if you have sons, and there's another daughter, so according to the Torah, she won't get any nachla, she won't get any inheritance in Israel. Why are we mentioning her? Because actually, she was the daughter of his wife, and from that side of the family, she deserved to inherit something, like Bnot Slofchad, because her father didn't have anyone to inherit him. So now, if there aren't any sons, the daughter comes to inherit. So that the reason why she's mentioned here, because she was adopted, and now she's also deserves to get some kind of nachla in Eretz Israel. So we see another case of adoption, going way back in history, back to Asher, his wife had a daughter, and he got married to his wife, and he also embraced and adopted that daughter. So let's see a few halachas regarding adoption. There are many, many cases that we have to discuss, yeah?
Are you talking strictly adoption or adoption with nachla only?
Sorry?
Are you talking about adoption with nachla only, or just any adoption?
What is adoption with the Torah? I just mentioned the case of adoption in the Torah now with the Shev. Regarding Yerusha, so most likely they're not entitled to any Yerusha according to the Torah. Obviously, the father. Sorry?
There's another adoption. Shimon married Dina, who had a daughter from Shechem.
That's a question whether it's the daughter of Shechem. Certain parshanim say that, certain commentators say that, but it's Shaul ben Akananit. It's not for sure that he's in fact the son of Shechem. It's not so sure. I mean, it seems from Rashi that he's not, but I don't know. It's a very good point. We should explore that sometime. But we're going to today discuss all kind of halachas regarding adoption. First of all, can someone, by adopting a child, perform the mitzvah of puvu? We all know that there's a mitzvah of puvu and you have to have children. So by adopting, can a person perform that mitzvah? There are certain... The biggest problem, biggest difficulty to overcome during adoption, halachically, is the question of yichud. And that is something that we're going to deal with great length. We're going to see a tshuva of Tzitzit Eliezer, which deals with it, because it's a very, very problem. If there's a problem of yichud, so it's almost impossible to raise a child. Can the adopting parents give a hug to their child? I mean, can the mother give a child to her adopted son, and can the adopting father give a hug to his adopted daughter? It's a very, very big question, and how can you actually adopt someone without reflecting them love and passion and embracing them? So let's see all of these things, and obviously it's a very, very big thing, a very, very big mitzvah, and a very, very important thing. So I don't know if this relates to someone here personally, but If in any way I will speak in a manner that will, for some reason, sound disrespectful, I don't have any intentions to, so I apologize in advance. It's a very, very big and important topic. So let's learn about the importance of this mitzvah. In source number 7, another person is adopted, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is another case of adoption in the Torah. The Navi says in Divrei Yomim, V'ishto ha-Yehudiya yaldat yered, v'gdor, et chever, v'ishocho, v'tikotel, v'izanoach, ואלה בני בתי בת פרעה, שכך מרד. המי קרא לי יהודיה, why are you telling us that בתיה is a Jew? אנשים שכפרה בבדה זרה, she left all the idolatry worship. תכתיב את ארד בת פרעה לרחוץ על היור, ואמר ויוחדן שעדה לרחוץ מגאולי בבית אביה, the reason why she was in the Yor in the first place, that the Yor was some kind of mikvah, and she wanted to clean herself from the avodah zara, the idolatries that was in the Beit Aviha. And then the Gemara asked, Yalda, she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu? She gave birth to Yered, Avigdor, all these are names of Moshe Rabbeinu. So she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Haravuya Ravita, she only raised Moshe Rabbeinu. She didn't give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us, why did the Navi say, Asher Yalda, that she gave birth? Lomar lecha shekol hanegadel yatom v'yatoma v'toch beito, ma'aleh alav ha-katuv ke'ilu yelado. This is such a great thing, such an important thing, to raise a child, to adopt a child, that if you adopt a child, it is as if you gave birth. This child is as if you're the biological father of this child. So if we say that Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be adopted, so there's another very interesting Rashi and Gurarie. The Torah famously says that Vaitzav Paro l'chol amo lemor kol haben hayilod yaorot yaorot hashlichu. That the first decree of Pharaoh was that all the Jewish families should throw their children, their sons, to the river. But suddenly he says to the entire Jewish, the entire Egyptian land, the Egyptian nation, all you guys, throw away your children into the river. So Rashi says, what happened? Why did he ask everyone? So he says in source 9, Afalehem Gazal, also he said this decree on the Egyptians. Yom shenurad Moshe, amru lo istagninav, hayom nurad Moshian, ve'ein anu yodim, im Mitzrayim, im Israel. So the Chartumim, his wise, sorcerers, yeah, not wizards, sorcerers of Egypt. So they came to him and told him that, listen, the savior of Am Yisrael was now born, but we're not sure whether he's Jewish or Egyptian. So the Maharal in Source 10 says, I don't understand. They have such great powers, they're such terrific sorcerers. They know very clearly that he's going to be born today. So the only thing that they don't know is his nationality, whether he's an Egyptian or whether he's Jewish. What happened? He says the Goliath something very, very beautiful. He says, the reason is, V'yere'eli, source 10, Mipnei Shebat Paro Gidlo, since he was raised by the daughter of Pharaoh, U'mipnei Ken Nikra Ben Levat Paro, and because of that he was considered to be the son of Batya Bat Paro, K'dichtiv Divrei Yamim, Ele Din Batya Yered, Lefichach Lo Ayu Yisagninim Roim Al Toldot, על תולדות עם ישראל, שהרי נקרא בן לבת פרעה. וגם לא אם הם מצרים הוא, מפני שילדה אותו יוכבת. We don't know whether he's Egyptian or whether he's Jewish. Why? Because on the one hand, he was born to יוכבת, and on the other hand, he was raised by בת יבת פרעה. So I don't know what he is. So because of that, they said, today we have to kill all of the children who are born, because we're not sure where he is. So this is also a very, very interesting thing. The Chosin is Chezkel, in source 11, Rabbi Chezkel Avramsky, he also tells us about the importance of the mitzvah of Pur Vu, and sorry, the mitzvah of adopting, and he says, Gam Ele, Asher Abore Mana Mehem Pri Beten, also those people who are prevented, Lo Aleinu, to be parents, Lo Nimneu Mehem Erkei HaRuach, Sheyesh B'Chaim Meshutafim Shel Ish Ve'Isha Ve'Kimo Sheolam. They still have another way to be parents. As the Torah says, the Gemara says, Kol HaMelamed, את בן חברו תורה כאילו ילדו, וכל המגדל יתום בתוך ביתו כאילו ילדו. סוף דבר, כל איש ואישה ששאר רוח ותבונה היא יתרה בזיווגם, יש להם יד ושם בעיני הדורות וישיחות ישראל, המוכתב בתור מלאכת כהנים וגוי קדוש. Yes, there is a way, there is a solution, and the way is, by adapting that you could adopt a child, and by that you could also be part of the continuity of Am Yisrael. So all this is a nice introduction, seeing cases of adoption in Chazal, in the Torah, and the importance of the mitzvah. Now, there's a very, very interesting source in source 12. I'm going to now share once again in the chat the source sheet, because I see that more people have just joined. So I'm going to share it once again. Okay. Here it is once again. In the source sheet, in the chat, the source sheet. So in source 12, Reb Shlomo Kluger always has big, big chidushim, and he has very interesting things to say. So he now brings a very interesting topic. Hinen istapakti b'mi shegidel yatom v'yatoma b'toch beito im nechshav ze kiyum priya uviya kivan de'amru chazal ha'megadel yatom v'yatoma b'toch beito ma'aleh alav ha'katuv ke'ilu yelado im ken yesh lomar de'havinami ke'ilu kiyem priya uviya. Oh, al kol panim, elod belevlad mamash, velo kem bezeh kipra uviya. Once the Torah tells us that when you raise a child, when you adopt a child, and you raise him inside your house, this is as if you gave birth to him. So yes, can I do the mitzvah priya uviya? Can I put in my checklist the mitzvah priya uviya once I adopt a child? So he brings a very interesting machlokas. There's machlokas between the Taz and the Drisha. To be honest, I looked for it and didn't find it. Machlokas of Taz and Drisha, when the Torah, when the Chazal say ki'ilu, ki'ilu is as if. So a person who raised a child, it is as if he gave birth to him. The Lashon ki'ilu, as if, is it really? Is it for real? But it's only ki'ilu. It's like similar, but it's not really the same thing. So he says it's machlokes Taz and Drisha. So he says, I'm not really sure whether it really means that I really gave birth to this child. But he says in the end something very, very interesting. Aval im holid vametu. Let's say that he gave birth to children. And chas v'sholom la'aleinu, they passed away. V'gidal yatom v'yatoma. And then afterwards, he raised an orphan, yatom v'yatoma, male and female, because the mitzvah pool of who, as we all know, is a male and a female. So after his biological children passed away, he raised orphans. V'day kiyem priya uviya. D'mimah nafshach. Im ba'inan leida harei hulid mamash. V'av de lo gidlam. Harei gdil etom v'etomah. V'nei lo hulid al kol panim gidel. V'yotzev ma nafshach. Ken nireli nachon ledina. He says that there's this big chakira regarding the mitzvah puruvu. What is the mitzvah puruvu? The Radak explains that puru means multiplying, that you're adding people in the world, and revu means raising, making someone stronger, bigger, raising. That is revu. That's not only bringing someone to the world, it's also raising and educating and teaching. So he says, if the mitzvah is just bringing people to the world, I brought people to the world, even if chas v'shalom aleinu, they passed away. And if the mitzvah is to raise them, so now raised. So whether if I only adopt, it's a suffix. I don't know if it's good enough. But if a person had a children and he passed away, aleinu, and then he now adopted, so miman avshach, either way, I did puruvu. I also brought people to the world, and also I raised them. The halacha is that you have to have children, which are also capable of bringing more children. At the kiddush of my niece. So, my son Moishi was the first grandson of my father-in-law. Then my brother-in-law had a son. Then I had a daughter, and then my brother-in-law had another daughter. So he said at our kiddush that now finally I perform the mitzvah puruvu, because I have, Baruch Hashem, finally two children, a son and a daughter that I gave birth to, a son and a daughter. So Baruch Hashem, I did all the shitot b'ayin hara, tfu tfu tfu, ken yirbu. Yeah.
Does this in any way affect Kibbutz Mechalitza? Meaning, if you have children?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Even the Chochmas Shloim, to be honest, also with Puruvu, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it's a terrific, amazing, amazing mitzvah, but to say that really, that is as if you gave birth to him, it is as if. But it doesn't make a lot of sense to say that really, they are considered to be his children, even for the sake of Priya Uviya. But you see, once the Chochmas Shloim says such a thing, so I think it's very, very comforting and interesting to see this thing. Okay, now the very important issue of telling the child that he is adopted. Is there a chiyuv to tell a child at a certain point in life that he's adopted, or that you could hide it from him his entire life? So the Mishnah Halachas from Nasha Klein, he brings 14 reasons, 14 chashashot, reasons to be concerned, and because of that, to tell the child that he is adopted. You'll see that all the 14 aren't the most compelling 14. And some of
the biggest one.
Sorry?
Arias is the biggest one.
Gilur Arias?
Because he wants to get married, and he has to know that he could be his sister.
Oh, very good. So he says the first reason is the obvious one. He says in 12 Aleph, he says, Shema Yisach Achiv Et Achoto. He has to know who his father and mother is, because he has to know whether he has brothers and sisters, because once he's going to get married, he has to know, is this my brother or sister? I don't know. So he has to make sure that this is not his relative. That's first reason, and that actually makes sense. That actually makes
sense.
Sorry? Yeah. That's a very, very big issue as well. I'm not going to deal with it so much about adopting a non-Jew, because that's already concerning the issue of Ger Katan, of a convert who is underage. How is the process? Maybe one day we'll do a show about that as well. That's actually now the big question now in Israel, because if the reform the reform, if the reform of the Giyur will be actually passed and legislated in Israel, so they're going to do also conversions for young children under the age of mitzvah. That's a big, big question. How to do it, and it's a very, very big, big, big issue. So that's reason number one why you have to tell the child that he is adopted. First of all, he has to know who his family is in order that to prevent him marrying his brother and sister. I once read a Jeffrey Archer book. I read a few Jeffrey Archer books, and in two of them, the story was that someone married his sister by accident. Only Jeffrey Archer, it could happen twice, but it may happen as well. He says, the second reason that he brings, we'll see that this is a big, big question, whether he's right, if this is a question. He says, in Bet, in the second page, in the second line, She'im itchazek kivnam, v'savur sheze aviv v'imo, u'mutar litiached ima, כמו שאמרו בכל עשוי תחד, חוץ מהם, ובנה ואביו וביתו, ובאמת, הוא אינו בנה, אם כן עובר על איסור ייחוד, בכל עת שיתאחד עם אשתי, שהוא סבור, שהוא אמו, וכן לחבקה או לנשקה שבן מותר באמו, ואם הוא אישה אחרת, ואשת איש, יקלב דאורייתא, he says, if he is adopted, so there's a problem of ייחד, there's a problem of חיבוק ונישוק, one second, and because of that, you have to know, because if you won't know, so he will violate this avera of chibuk v'nishuk all the time. And we'll see soon whether this is an issue or not. Yes, Rav Nathan.
Child is not told, all of a sudden comes back from school, 7, 8 years old. I'm adopted, how come you didn't tell me? Those are more major concerns
and
any kind of stuff.
Yeah. I actually previously, before the Shura, I looked up, I Googled it, when is the age that you have to tell. So for some reason, there isn't any law, but there are all kind of recommendations. And the recommendations, as I saw on Google, I didn't ask any someone, a professional, is as soon as possible. The earlier, the better. That's what they say. So that's another reason because of Yichud. Another reason in source 3. Im yamuta baal belo banim v'yachzekeu levin yivtor ishto min hayibum. That if we won't know this person is actually adopted, so let's say his adopting father passes away, and his adopting mother has to now have yibum. Has to have a chalitza because she died, because her husband died and she doesn't have any children. So we'll think that he's actually the son, so we have to actually know, we have to actually take action. Another few reasons that he brings, we have to make sure that there's a proper yibum chalitza if there is a brother. No, he's not doing anything, right? He's not doing anything, right? A very, very weird reason that he brings. It's very, very weird. The fourth reason he brings. He says that if after his father passes away, so he will have a relationship with his mother. And then people will think that the child that is consumed is a mamzer. And they'll say that he's a mamzer. Actually, no, he's not a mamzer because actually he's not related to his mother.
Let's see
tomorrow. I don't know. This is very weird. I mean, this is our concern that he will have a relationship with his adopting mother. This sounds very, very strange, to be honest, but very, very strange. A few more reasons that actually...
Weirder stuff has happened.
Yeah, but this is a concern that maybe he'll have his mother. Thinking that she is his mother. But he brings a lot of very good reasons. He says if he marries a relative, so actually it's okay to marry that relative, and they'll have to have a get. If his adopted father is a Kohen, so you should know that he's not a Kohen, because if you'll now say a bracha, it's a bracha vatala. If he's a Kohen, people come to him and honor him to be to do pidyon haben, so you have to know it's no good. The ninth, if he's a goy, the eighth reason. So he has to know, because if a child is converted when he's a child, so he has the right to do mecha'a, to protest against the conversion after he finds out. And the second he knows, if he protests, he's no longer a Jew. So he has to know whether he's a Jew or not Jew regarding that case. Regarding, he says, if he hit his parents, he has to know what kind of tshuva he has to do. Okay. Regarding Kaddish, he says that if he thinks that these are his parents, he will try to take the Amud and be the Chazan, and he'll take away the Kaddishim of other people. And he's not a Chiyuv, and he's stealing the Met, he says. He's stealing from him something very important. Regarding Shiva, if he thinks that his adopted parents are his parents, so he'll sit Shiva, and on the first day of Shiva, he's not putting on tefillin, and he won't learn Torah, and all kinds of these things, he has to know. He has to put on tefillin the first day, he has to know whether he has to put on, he's Mechiv Shiva or not. Once he's an Onan, he has to know if he's Pater. So another very interesting reason, source 13, that Ein Achola is not source 13, source 12, but in the 13th reason, Yud Gimel, Ein Achola Lot Shtuki Al Kisei Rabbanim, that a Rav has to have Yichus. You want to have a Rav? Find out what is Yichus. What are his oranges? And since he's a Shtuki, it's not appropriate for him to be a Rav. And he says, although the Torah tells us, the Chazal tells us, Mamzer Tamid Chacham Kudem LeKohen Gadol HaMaaretz, that a Mamzer was a Tamid Chacham, he's more important than a Kohen Gadol who's in HaMaaretz. Still, once you appoint someone, it's worthwhile to appoint someone with Yichus. Okay. And the last reason he says, because... Sorry? No, of course not. Of course not. You have amazing rabbis who are Bali Tshuva with terrible Yichus.
Sorry, about Shiva, an adopted son sitting Shiva.
Adopting son does not have to sit Shiva. So he has to put on tefillin, and if he and before the Levaya, he has to perform mitzvah. He's not an Onan, he has to do all the mitzvot. He has to make brachas, he has to do everything.
But if he wants to sit Shiva,
So if he wants to sit with everyone, if he wants also to say Kaddish, he's allowed to. The Ramah says it in his response. He could also daven alone, but he can't take someone else's chiyuv. That's right. That's right. So all these things, he's not his biological son. In fact, he also has to sit shiva, and he is a chiyuv for kaddish and everything for his biological father. That if somehow he finds out that he passed away, even though he didn't have any connection with him, he has to sit Shiva. Since I don't think I'm going to address this in this shir today, the last source in your source sheet, in source 28, so the Meshech Chochma says that there is a kibud avim, kibud avicha v'emecha, kasher tzivcha Hashem elokecha. You have to respect your parents the way that Hashem commanded you. So why is this redundant phrase kashel tzivcha Hashem lokecha? Every single mitzvah is kashel tzivcha Hashem lokecha, because he says that usually kibud avim is a keres hatov. After you have a keres hatov, someone who raised you, who gave you food, who gave you drink. He said b'midbar, in the wilderness, sham lo yato gadol al avot bigidul bnehem ki mana ya yored min hashamayim mayim me'aber basar mesvav ha'anan nege'etz malbushehem. I mean, you didn't even need parents in the wilderness. You had a shear from Moshe Rabbeinu, you had food from the man, you had water from the well, and you didn't need your mother to do for you laundry because the Anan was coming and doing for you dry cleaning. So maybe now I don't have to respect my parents? No. Even if they don't do anything for you, there's a chiv of kibud avim. This is a very interesting idea in Source 28 in the Meshech Chochma. Even if really they don't deserve it, chas v'shalom, you still have to be mechabedah. So I'll just finish the last words of Source 12 of Rav Menashe Klein, saying that this is so important to reveal to the son, and people have to know about people. I mean, the son has to know his yichus. He has to know his origins. He says that the Torah was given to Am Yisrael because Kadosh Baruch Hu went to all the nations and asked them for their sefer yuchsin, to see their yichus, and only Am Yisrael had the yichus, and because of that we were deserved the Torah. So because of that we also have to keep our yichus today. It's also very interesting to notice that the Egyptians, when they actually killed all the Jewish boys, so by that they can't eradicate the Jewish nation, because once a goy marries a female Jew, so the child is a Jew. So you'll carry on having Jewish people in the world. So what are you gaining by killing the boys? You're gaining to kill the yichus of Am Yisrael. you're losing the yichus, because the yichus is according to the father. If the father is a kohen, the child is a kohen. If the father is a levi, the father is a levi. So because of that, the mita kinigimila, the Rashi says that v'yasvim batim, that the mialdot, the birth mothers, what they got in return for their great things that they did, they got bati kihuna and bati melucha. They got yichus back. And the Egyptians were trying to fight against the Yichus of Am Yisrael. An interesting thought concerning this. So I see, according to Rav Nashe Klein, and all the poskim say the same thing, you have to reveal to the adopted child that he is adopted, because otherwise you have all these terrible things that might be a mistake, and he has to know about this. Now, as I said, the biggest issue about adoption is the case of Yichud. What can you do? See, in Source 13, in Pnimei HaRav, Rav Shechter brings the approach of Rav Soloveitchik. He says, "Kshehitchilu l'adpis ta sefer Otzar HaPoskim." Otzar HaPoskim is a terrific book of contemporary poskim, and all over Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote about Shulchan Aruch v'Nezer, "Shalach Admon Melubavitch." Zichrono Livracha. B'chabatzke Rebbe, he sent a letter. "El ha-marechet shemin ha-nachon la'ir al kach, she'elu she'me'amtzim yeladim yesh lehem ba'aya." Those who are adopting children, they have a problem of yichud. Veshamati, says Rav Shechter, shebiglal ken kama zugod mechasidei Chabad she'ein lehem yeladim lo nagu la'ametz. He says that you'll see that many lo aleinu, that families that come from Chabad origins, that are Chabadnikim, so if they don't have children, they don't adopt because of that problem, because the Rebbe said there was a big problem of yichud. Upashta Shmuai says, and the rumor said, Sherabenu Halo Tzadkula Bezet, that Rav Soloveitchik, he was make about it. Vizug Chabadi me Boston, Baulifne Rabenu Sheakel Badabat Yichud, and a family of Chabad came to the Rav and asked him, give us a kula. Amanat Shechrula Metz, Vikpid Rabenu Alein, and he was upset that they approached him. Shemachar Sheaf Paulo Shalom and Shum Shalom Achero, they never asked him any other Shaila in Alacha. And he's not the Rav. And he shouldn't ask him for a kula. And then he brings an additional story, which is a very, very not typical story to the YU circles and the Rav Soloveitchik, that once a family of Chabad came up to him, asking for a kula. He actually spoke with them, and he said, listen, before you adopt, wait another year. Wait another year, and you'll see what happens during that year. You can never know. And the father who sat with him, the husband that sat with Rav Soloveitchik, was very upset. What, another year? What am I going to gain? It's such a long process. And to begin with, why am I now postponing for another year? And he says that during that year, his wife got pregnant and had a child, Baruch Hashem. And they asked the Rav to be a tzaddik, but he said he can't come because he has to give a shir in yeshiva. It's very interesting. So you see the greatness of Rav Soloveitchik. But I said to myself, if Rav Soloveitchik today would have seen this story, I mean, according to what I'm hearing about his Lithuanian approach to things, Hasidic stories about himself. So I don't know. Maybe it's the moifis of the Lubavitcher, and not his moifis. I don't know, because he's already because he is pro adopting. But this is a simple tzaddik Rav Shechter is saying about Rav Soloveitchik. So yichud, is there a problem of yichud? Yes or no? So we saw clearly, according to Rav Menashe Klein in the beforehand, that's the problem of yichud. Also, yichud, the adopted parents can't hug, can't kiss their child, can't show any affection and warmth to the children because Gilur Arayis. But the Tzitzel Yezel comes and saves the day. He says in Source 14, Dayan Waldenberg, he says, "Nishalti mitamid chacham gadol im yesh iter legadel v'lametz ben ladur imo begadluto." From the time that yichud is a problem, what is the problem? When is the problem of yichud? Says from the son, "Meitchim leulo teisha shenim v'yom echad." Once he's 9 years old, problem of yichud. Oto davar b'lefech ish begadel bat meetz melot la gimel shenim v'yom echad. Once she's 3 years old, there's a problem of yichud. Yes, there can be a babysitter to babysit a 3-year-old girl, according to the Tzitzel Yezel. That's the problem of Yichud. And he said, "Va'be'er etzinit lo ramatzav kiyom sherabim hema hamamtzim because of shonot." People want to help. People want to adopt. Va'pirov aramim motzim lo yodim shilo imon. He says, and the majority of cases, they don't know that actually the father and the mother v'nizrim me'legrot b'hem ad shigdelu. And usually they don't tell them until a later age. We said previously that that's not necessarily true because the earlier the better. So he says, what should we do? And he says, "Vota baya." I'm reading the last line in page 3. "Ota baya yeshna gam liden chibuk v'nishuk ita metoch yachas ahavuti v'amhuti." Can they hug them? Can they kiss them? What can they do? So in the beginning he says, "Pashut, it's a problem. Pashut, there's no reason, there's no logic to say it'll be okay." Hinei lecho pashut adavar de'ein kol makom la'atir ha'yichud beze. Even if the children don't know, it's a problem of yichud, a problem of chibuk v'nishuk. Because other than the fact that they do know about it, the mother and the father, they know about it. Because of their knowledge, there's a problem of yichud. Milvad ze harei Rashi b'kiddushin masbir tama dadar im imo o im bito. The Gemara has to explain and tell us, how is it possible for a father to be with his daughter at home? Biological daughter. How can it be together in the same house? Yichud. How could a mother be in the same house with her child? Yichud. So the Gemara tells us, Meshum delotaki fitzro alayu, de'ahanu be'anshei knesset ha'gdola, de'lo magri be'kruvta, mekim kachlinu v'nakrinu le'enu. The famous story in the Gemara Masechet Yuma, that the rabbis had the permission to slaughter the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah. They wanted to slaughter the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos once again. So they kept him captive in prison, the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos, for 3 days. During those 3 days, eggs, there were no eggs in the world because with no Yetzer Hara, so there are no children in the world as well. So what they do, they kachlinu v'semhinu, they took away his eyes of the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayos, and they managed to somehow subtract the power of Gilui Arayot, and now there's no Yetzer Hara for relatives. There still is the Yetzer Hara of Gilui Arayot. So he says, so something natural happened to the world, and now naturally we don't have any attraction to Gilui Arayot of Koivim, of people who are relatives. The Hainu the Tumah Funtivi lo takif Yitzrael Ayu. This is true only with a real relative, with someone that really has a natural connection. But in reality, there's no connection between them. They're not real relatives. So in that case, the problem of Gilui Arayot. So he says, I don't have a solution. But then he comes to say, only the Tzitzit Ezra, I really love the Tzitzit Ezra. He's a tremendous posek, and you see all the time how he tries to solve problems. And then he says, I mean, according to this, it's almost literally impossible to raise a and adopt children. What do you do? Once the girl is 3 years old, get out of the house, or we can't be together in the house, you can't show affection to the child. It's so heartbreaking. And it's such a great mitzvah, as we previously said. Achar lenu dati, נראה להציע כמה צדדי היתר. And he says, and the אות ב' in the second paragraph, ראיתי בדברי הלבוש, שבכוח תורתו כי רב, הסביר טעם מדידי על היתר הייחוד של בן עם אמו. The לבוש gives a different reason, why is it okay for a mother to be the same with her son? I would have assumed he said, that there will be a problem of ייחוד, this is Gilui Arayos, still it is okay. Why? מפני שאין דרכה לבוא עמו לידי הרגל עבירה. והוא הדין, האב עם ביתו. ונראה כוונת הסברו בזה, דביהיות שמגדלת אותו ביחסי אם ובן, והוא הדין האב את ביתו, אם כן זהו גוף החיץ והמחיצה המבדלת ביניהם. That since they're raising this boy, this girl, as a son, as a daughter, so this is the mechitza between them. This actually shows that they have this clear hecker between them, that this is like my child. I'm treating this boy as my son, I'm treating this girl as my daughter, this is like my child, this is the greatest hecker, this is an invisible mechitza between the father and the daughter, the mother and the son, because they're treating him as a son. And once you train yourself all these years to to treat them as family, this is a mechitza. This already will prevent you any yetzer hara, and there's no problem of yichur, and no problem of chibur v'nishuk. And he says, so because of that, since I'm treating my daughter as my daughter, that is already the mechitza between us. The same thing he says, I mean, that's the reason why a father could be in the same room with his daughter. Since from a very young age, and this is very important, is with all of his kula is when he adopts the child from a very young age. Unfortunately, adopting a child in a later age, so even the tzitzieza won't say it'll be okay. And suddenly your son's a hug and kiss, and in the same room. Sorry? So I assume before the problem of yichus, so before the age of 3 for girls, and maybe before the age of 9 for boys. That's what I assume. But again, it's a big problem. You know, all the time you see in the movies that everyone wants to adopt the young children, not the older one, and then they are abandoned. It's really sad to see it. So he says, but since already you consider them as children, this is okay. There's no concern, there's no reason to think that you'll come to have an avera. He adds and says in Gimel, Hayiti Mosif Vomer Shezesh Ketov Levush. He gives another reason. Belashon Lefi Shabem Mityached Imimo, Kolmar Shabem Matzui Imimo Tamid. The Levush says Kolmar Shabem Matzui Imimo Tamid. He's always with his mother. Hakolmar Azeh Hu Isber Vintat Tam Al Shelefanav Al Shelacharav. ולכן הבא מתייחד עם אמו, לפי שהבא מצוי עם אמו תמיד. ומכיוון שמצוי אצלה תמיד ורגילים לכך, ממילא אין דרכן לבוא לידי הרגיעה לעבירה. דייחוד להביא אותם לידי שום קרבה יתרה של גילוי הריות. He says that the concern of ייחוד is that's going to cause גילוי הריות because it's another step to be closer. Why is ייחוד a problem? Because it's another step. Once you have ייחוד, so that you're more intimate, you're more private, something might happen. That's why people want to be intimate in the first place, to be alone, and then progress to other things. He says, but with family, that's not true, he says. With family, it's not true. With family, that's not, since they're together all the time, if someone wants to have some kind of a vera, there's no inyan to be closer, because you're together all the time. So because of that, he says, the same thing also will be with adopting children. So he says, according to the Levush, that says that once you treat someone as a child, and the reason why you're allowed to be with your daughter and mother with their son is because you have this kind of mechitza between your child, the same thing will be also with an adopted child. Because of that, it will be okay. Both yichud and also chibuk v'nishuk. Also hugging, also kissing the child. Tamin Chasisrak in source 15, he speaks strongly against the Tzitzviezer. I'm not sure if he mentions him by name, but he says that a certain poisek, hinel divrein alevushanal, birtsonam livnot yesodam. Again, the Tzitzviezer is according to the Levush, saying that the heter of yichud, of a parent and a child, is because they treat each other as parent and child. The nature of the relationship is the chatzitza. So he says that you want to learn from a reason of the Levush. Levush is an achron. I don't understand. Livnot yesod le'atir b'ma shemasim b'divrei rishonim v'achronim sheshvenu adin v'msiud kaze. You're learning according from a reason that is brought by the Levush, is not brought by the Rishonim, is not brought by the Achronim. And even if it was brought, even according to Chazal, that would be the reason. It's still no good. Because Shlomo HaMelech said they wanted to understand all the reasons of the Torah, and they told him reasons, and still he thought that he could avoid the reason, and still he was chote. And still he did an avera, as we know that. He said that the problem of having many wives is because it caused me to become to do averot, and even though he knew this reason, he did averot, he did transgressions. So he said that you can't ever learn from the ta'am of the mitzvah. I think I said once a few weeks ago that the word ta'am is also the same letters of me'at. Ta'am, yeah, tet ayin mem is the same letters of me'at. The ta'am of the mitzvah is only a bit. It's only a small detail of the mitzvah, but it has a really big idea behind it. It's not only the reason that you have now in front of you. So you have the time. So according to the time, you know, saying these great chidushim and allowing yichud and allowing chibuk v'nishuk, it can't be. So he says you can't learn from the reason of the levush, especially when Rashi provides us a different reason that there's no yetzer hara between a mother and her son and a father and his daughter because they are relatives and there's no longer yetzer hara of relatives. So because of that, he says I don't understand, and I think. You shouldn't be makil at all. I won't. Sorry? No. Allow adoption, but according to the halachas of Avichud, which is very, very difficult. Meaning that the house has to be open all the time, either the door open or at least not locked.
And never hug your child, either.
And never hug your child. It's kind of terrible. But that. You know, it is. I tried to set up some divorced couples together, and that was an issue. And it is an issue. It really is. I mean, all the solutions here of Zizieza, it is an issue. I mean, it's a problem. I mean, it makes life much more difficult. Definitely. Definitely. Where am I? Yeah, so I'll just skip source 16. The more snifim that the Tzitzit Yezel brings to be Mekel, he says, he gives another reason, that the same reason that Anida, Ishto Nida, that person can be in the same, that there's no problem of Yichud when one's wife it becomes Nida, and it's an Issel of Kares, it's Gilu Arayis, it's a terrible thing, it's Yehalik Ve'Yavo, but still, since Rishonim say that you can't live that way, yeah. If the wife goes to the bathroom in the middle of the night and now she's tummy, okay, get out of the house. What do you do? You can't live a proper life. He says the same thing here also. You can't live a proper life. It's impossible to live that kind of way. And you have a great mitzvah to raise children. What are you going to do? You have to raise children. You have to find a solution. That's what he says. It's a gzirah she'tzibur lo chol la'amod ba, as he says. Just read the conclusion in Otchet. So he says, before source 17, Otchet, he says, ketavti b'tzidut tzadei ter anal, גם שנדמה שנכנסים לכאורה בפרצות חוקות, בכדי ללמד זכות על ישראל. ובירותינו שגם גדולים וטובים לא נזהרים בזה, I saw a great tzaddikim doing it, ובכדי לא לסגור הדרך לפני ילדים אומללים, שלא יהיה להם דורש ומבקש מבתים שיחנכו אותם, שם בקי התורה והמסורה. So he says, I had to find these kulas because this is a problem that you have to find a solution. You can't carry on like this. You have to find a solution. And he says, but again, of my kula, zot miat ladat, ze asur bevadai lechatchila laemetz yadim shen kva megil shel isur yichud, bat megil shalosh, be megil teisha, im yudim merosh shelo yichul nizah v'yitechet. This only helps you if you adopt before the ages of yichud. That's what the Tzitzit Yezel says. So he's the first person who gives a very, very major kula regarding yichud, and by that actually allowing and making life much more easier, and also making much more healthier relationship between the adopted parents to the adopted children. Rav Ozner in source 17 says, "Yadati shegam Rav Tzitzit Yezer katav ken derech limud zchut kasher gish be'atzmo sham sof ha'siman." As we said, that this is a dochak. מקום מקום לפי דתי ענייה, אין הטעמים מספיקים להקל בזה לכתחיל הסויסי, also Rav Menashe Klein, and also Rav Ozner, זכר צדיק לברכה, saying, no good, but we have Tzitzit Yezel, Baruch Hashem, to rely on, and another kula that we find is Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'll just say it also about Pei, the amazing thing about Moshe, that he learned Gemara, he learned simple stories in the Gemara that usually you just pass by in the Daf Yomi, and he learned from this halachas, and this is really amazing. He brings a story in Sota, amazing, really amazing. He brings a story in Sota, in source 18. He says that Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yochanan, so he says that they had a bat choreget in their house. A choreget means, let's say he adopted someone. It's not really adopting. I think it actually means the son of the daughter of his wife. But anyway, Gemara says that they shouldn't get married. If someone has a stepdaughter in his house, that stepdaughter shouldn't marry his biological children. Why? Because it looks like they're marrying their sister. Halacha Maaseh, this is not true. They can, and I know many stories, actually, at least two, that families got married together, and then the children got married as well with each other. But why people thought that they're actually marrying each other, the brother and the sister? Because people will think that they're brother and sister. And he says, I don't believe this. Why would they think that way? That they're brother and sister? They'll see clearly. They're not together in the same house. If they're in the same house, immediately he opens the door. He'll never hug her, never kiss her, never hold her hand, never show any affection. So in that case, there's the most clearest hacker in the world, he says, that she's not his daughter. If in fact she's adopted, and he has to keep away yichud, and he has to not hug and kiss her, so in that case, it's so obvious. Every Friday night, he's saying a bracha to the children, getting to the daughter, not touching her. What happened? So it shows you, he says to Moshe, you have to say that it wasn't like that way. That he didn't keep distance from them. And because of that, he says that this is a raya from the Gemara that if you have someone in your house, which you're not a biological child, you still can treat her as your own child. And because of that, there was this chashash that people might think that they're actually marrying their sisters. Really amazing. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. But he raises the question. But wait, isn't it obvious? If you keep all these restrictions, so it must be that is okay. So he says that the heter is, why is that okay? Because only if the husband lives with his wife and they're adopting a child, so because he doesn't want to have any disturbance, he says, in the relationship between him and his wife, so because of that, he's extra careful when he raises that child. But if his wife passes away, the opposite, that they're adopting a son and the husband passes away, that'll be a problem. So Moshe says something in the middle, that when can you be lenient regarding all chibuk, nishuk, and yichud? Only when the husband and the wife are together in this. If only one of them are adopting, there'll be a problem according to Moshe. Since the Ezel says it doesn't matter, it's always okay, but Moshe says something in between, that'll be okay. I'll just finish. Sorry for running ahead. I mean, I tried to bring so many ideas, and it's way too long. This I should have thought about that beforehand. Regarding the name, let's say he has an aliyah. Yeah, there's a bar mitzvah of the adopted child. How do you call him up to the Torah? So, sorry.
Biological father,
the adopted father, see in sources 19 and 20, all kind of Gemara is saying that they have the name of the adopting parent. A very interesting midrash in source 20, if you want to see it at home. And also Serach bat Asher. She's called Serach bat Asher, the daughter of Asher. And Uncle said that she was adopted. So they still have the name. However, I'll just skip entirely to source 22. That's the final conclusion. The dirshu is always the final word in source 22. So Ben Meumatz Min Chassid Chuk says you can't call him according to his adopting father, because in that case you'll have a lot of mistakes. People will actually think that this is the real father, and then all the problems of chalitza, problems of all the problems that they've said beforehand will be a problem, because people will think that this is actually his son. However, the Shut Lev Aryeh, if I'm not mistaken, was a dayan in the London based in. And he said that no, you could actually call him up according to the name of the father, of the adopting father, because we in the based in have everything in file. And this is actually amazing, because I was in the London based in two years ago, and my grandparents were married in London, in England. And I asked in Leeds, not even in London. And I was in London, basically, it's the chief rabbinate of England. And I asked them for their marriage certificate 70 years ago. 2 seconds, they found it. 2 seconds, they just typed in the name. 2 seconds, they found it. So they were very, very misudah. Everything was very in perfect order. So he said, so there's a problem of chlitza issues, no problem of yuchsin issues. Everything in our basin is written clearly. So you can call him up according to the name of the adopting father. That's what he says. And I assume the same thing could be true. Definitely true also the chief rabbi of Israel, when everything is kept very, very misudah in their records. Lechatchila, Rishon Zalman says it's not the best thing, but if there's no choice, you could do that. Regarding a get, and that's I think the most important regarding the terms of the name of the father, because writing the name of the in a get you have to write the name of the father, the son, the husband, the wife, and the father, and that's a big thing always to figure out what is the name, the real name, what is the nickname, all those things. So I spoke with three dayanim in Eretz Yisrael. I texted them this past week, asked them what is the minhag of the dayanim in Eretz Yisrael to do in the case of adopting of adopted children. I asked three dayanim from three separate betei din, and they all gave me three answers. So it's really amazing. So what?
How could it be three answers?
How could it be three
biological
answers?
Father, the doctor, father.
So it could be the biological. So I'll tell you what. I would agree. It should be the biological. If you know it, that would be the best. But if you don't know it, so either not mentioning the name at all, because b'diavad the Shulchan Aruch says that if you don't mention the name of the father, it is okay. The husband, you have to have the name. But if you have the name of if you omit the name of the father, b'diavad, it is okay. So that's one solution, and I think the majority of Bittin do that as well. Do that. Some say that Reb Moshe Feinstein in Source 27. So he says Ben Ploni Shegidlo, that he's a son of Ploni that raised him Shegidlo, and I think the most clever answer is that was brought from a basin of in Yerushalayim. They said that Ben Ploni Shegidlani. And this is a very big difference because the get is called, it's written, Ani, me, Reuven, who wants to divorce my wife, me. So if you're saying, me, Reuven, the son of Shimon, that raised him, Shegidlo, that raised him, it doesn't make any sense. It's not proper Hebrew. So they took Moshe and fixed it and said, Shegidlani, that they raised me. And that makes sense because the get is, it starts I Reuven did that. So it's either nothing, either Shegidlo, which is probably kind of a mistake, and the process is a way to do it. If you're mentioning the adopting father is Shegidlani who raised me, that's it. Okay, sorry that I had to rush today with all these things. I read too much sources, but it was very, very interesting for me to prepare this. At least I hope you enjoyed this thing as well. Good night, everybody, and Byriv.